Hi, Dr. Coleman sneezed and couldn't be here today, so I'm standing in for him. That was the sort of mask, of course, as you know, that was used by doctors during the real plague, the one that killed much of Europe, the one which was spread by rats and fleas. Those masks did no good at all, of course, but they made doctors look special, and no doubt rather frightening. The modern mask, which governments are trying to impose, do no more good than the one I just removed. The virus just goes through the mask like a wasp through chain link fencing. So what's the point? Are the English being forced to wear masks because Scotland's diminutive dictator made mask wearing compulsory north of the border? Is Boris the bullock being led by the nose by the sturgeon woman? When Sturgeon made mask wearing compulsory in Scotland, she created a clear division between the two countries and threatened to turn the border with England into a quarantine zone. This seemed to me to be political and part of the Scottish nationalists' plan to declare independence. So did Boris, desperate to prevent a split, make mask wearing compulsory in England to keep the two countries united? Whatever next? If Sturgeon makes kilt wearing compulsory, will Boris do the same? Boris likes to think of himself as Churchillian. He's more a prime minister in the Chamberlain mode, as far as I'm concerned. Is it just to humiliate us, oppress us, and take away our identity that we have to wear masks? To create fear and make us demand the vaccine? Or is it to prepare us for the one world religion which has long been planned? Is it a coincidence that July the 24th, the day when masks become compulsory in English shops, is the special day of St. Charbel MacLouf, a monk and priest who had links with both the Christian and Muslim worlds? When your own government and the mass media continually lies to you, nothing can be counted as impossible. Talking of mass media, it's important to realise that the whole of the mass media is now our enemy. I've read articles arguing that the government and its experts couldn't possibly be wrong because they're all singing from the same hymn sheet. This is such blatant nonsense that it makes me want to weep. Governments everywhere are involved in a conspiracy and they have passed laws forbidding dissent or discussion or the publication of information that doesn't fit the official line. It's no secret, for example, that in the UK, doctors and nurses working in the National Health Service are forbidden to talk about anything relating to the coronavirus. All whistleblowing is now banned. Anyone who breaks this law will be fired and probably lose their license to practice. But what a pity that doctors and nurses have failed to speak out. Any doctor or nurse who still thinks this virus is a plague should be struck off for incompetence. Health professionals should have the guts to speak out at a time like this. And before anyone accuses me of asking others to do what I need not do myself, just remember that I have been viciously attacked and lied about endlessly because I've spoken out. And I would add that I've twice resigned from well-paid jobs on a matter of principle. I resigned as a GP in the early 1980s because I disapproved of having to put diagnoses on sick notes. And I resigned from a job as a newspaper columnist when my column condemning the Iraq war was censored. Let me just give a couple of examples of how blatant the mass media has become in distorting or hiding the truth. First, a few days ago, the British government admitted that the number of deaths for COVID-19 had been dramatically exaggerated. Anyone who tested positive for the coronavirus and who subsequently died was officially counted as having died of the coronavirus. I've been saying this for months now, but it was good to see the government admit that the death total for coronavirus had been wildly exaggerated in order to bring the total up closer to the annual number of respiratory disease deaths, flu. If you had the coronavirus in February and were then run over by a bus in July, you officially died of the coronavirus, not the injuries caused by the bus. This was, in my view, one of the biggest news stories of the whole fiasco. I wonder how many murders were covered up that way. But the BBC didn't even mention the exaggeration on its website, as far as I could see. The story wasn't there. The BBC did, however, have a story dismissing those who didn't want to wear a mask as socially obnoxious. The BBC, it seems to me, has given up even pretending to be fair or even-handed in its reporting. Incidentally, the BBC has a reality check item on its website. If you go to that part of the BBC website, you'll find a form on which you can ask the BBC to check on something that seems inaccurate or misleading. I suggest you go there and ask this question. How corrupt is the BBC? Has the BBC's bias become more obvious since it forged financial links with the EU and with Bill Gates? Can you imagine the fun when the BBC gets 50 or 100,000 requests like that? Second, an editorial in The Economist said this about Donald Trump. Open quotes. He seems to be wrong about almost everything. He's promoted a dud malaria drug, said the virus would disappear, and even that 99% of cases of COVID-19 are harmless, close quotes. Well, Trump was right about all those things, and The Economist was, as it usually is, wrong about everything. I think it's vital to swamp all mainstream media with messages reminding their readers that the mass media is often providing a biased viewpoint. Ask their readers to look at these videos to find the truth. Whatever the truth may be, I think the war we're fighting against our own governments and their agents and manipulators can be divided into five specific battles. First, there's a battle against face masks. Since the World Health Organization changed its collective mind and started recommending masks just as infections fell, there's been a massive confusion around the world as more and more politicians have followed the party line, defied the science, and made mask wearing compulsory. There is a let out in some countries, such as the UK. Anyone who has a physical or mental health problem which makes mask wearing difficult can refuse to wear one. So if you have a respiratory problem, such as asthma, or you suffer from anxiety when wearing a mask, you are, as I understand it, legally entitled to refuse to wear one. And I don't believe you should have to tell a shop assistant or policeman precisely what your confidential health problem might be. On the other hand, if you tell the police officer that you're asthmatic, you wheeze occasionally or whatever, and you will suffer if you have to wear a mask, then you'd presumably have a good reason to appeal against a fine, whereas if you insist on not explaining your condition, you'd undoubtedly still have to tell the magistrate the nature of your problem. In the UK, children under 11 do not have to wear a mask. And since masks can cause hypoxia and can kill, in my view, parents who put masks on children under the age of 11 should be arrested for child abuse. Where are the damn social workers when you need them? All sitting at home wearing six masks and with their feet in a bucket of disinfectant, I suspect, because the BBC, the taxpayer-funded home of fake news, seems to have suggested that you can catch it through your feet. Second, there is the battle to retain cash. I think this is absolutely crucial. If they succeed in removing cash from our society, then we'll all become slaves to the electronic system. Easy to track and trace whatever we do and wherever we go. Implanted chips will be the next step and we'll all bear a tattoo. The banks have wanted to get rid of cash for a long time because it's inconvenient and messy, and they've been closing branches and cash machines in an attempt to force us to use plastic cards. The solution for us is to refuse to shop in establishments which won't take cash. If you know a shop won't take cash, then take a pile of purchases to the counter and then refuse to pay for them if your cash is refused. The shop will lose the sale and they'll have to put all the items back on the shelf. And make sure that the manager knows why you're going elsewhere. Third, we need to make sure that antisocial distancing is ended, particularly in schools. Parents should contact their child's school and make it clear that they don't want their child to attend a school which insists on antisocial distancing. They should make it clear that if a school puts antisocial distancing measures in place, then they'll hold a headmaster or headmistress personally responsible for any psychological damage their child might suffer. Petty bureaucrats hate being held personally accountable. Fourth, when I was a GP, I always managed to get round petty bureaucrats by telling them that if they didn't do what I thought I wanted them to do, I'd put their names on the death certificates. It never failed. Fourth, we don't want any more lockdowns. Now that local politicians and bureaucrats have been given the authority to introduce local lockdowns, we do at least know where we need to put pressure. Contact your local councillor and make it clear that you'll never vote for him or her again if lockdowns are introduced in your area. And demand that executive staff be fired if they try introducing lockdowns. Fifth, vaccines. Why are the authorities so desperate to force a vaccine on us just to deal with a mild disease no worse than the flu? We have to make it clear that we won't accept mandatory vaccinations. We aren't going to be able to end the vaccination program. It's too well entrenched within the system. And the zombies will be rolling up their sleeves and holding out their arms in eagerness the minute a vaccine is available. They don't care whether it works, causes brain damage, or kills them stone dead. The zombies are as desperate for the needle as heroin addicts after 2 days of cold turkey. If you don't want to be vaccinated, then make this clear on message boards and in letters to newspapers and radio programs. Point out that in America, the authorities have paid out over $4 billion to vaccine injured patients. In the UK, the government has a standard payment of £120,000 for those injured by vaccines. Why pay out all that money for vaccines which are supposed to be perfectly safe? If the authorities realise that there are many people who will not accept mandatory vaccination in any form, then they'll not try to force their damned vaccination on us. Thanks for watching An Old Man in a Chair, and thank you for all your support and encouragement. Please copy and share the videos on Twitter and Facebook and BitChute, etc. If you'd like to put on a translation, that would be fine. I bet you know this as well as I do. If my videos disappear, then please go to the website to see where you can find out where you can see them. The transcripts of all the videos, including the banned ones, are on vernoncolman.com. This channel has not been monetized. I haven't authorized any advertising, and there's no sponsorship, and there's no advertising or sponsorship on my website either. If you'd like to see more videos, please subscribe to the channel, because the videos have a nasty tendency to disappear into a black hole. Although it may feel like it at times, please remember you're not on your own. More and more people are waking up, and we will win this fight. Thank you for watching.